This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Morning, Bridges Church. You guys are awake. That's good. Good to see you. If you have your message notes out, you saw you had plenty of options. You can use the analog version, which is the paper copy out there. You open your app or open the worship guide on your phone. We want you to follow along. Have your books of John ready, John chapter 1. We're going to be there today and dive into the word, but we're glad that you're here. Glad you're willing to come and just worship and discover and explore and learn and to grow and to follow Jesus. That's what we're about. When God created you and God created me and God created human beings, he put something in our heart that just longs for story. We just long to hear stories. And studies have shown that when you hear a story, your mind is engaged in a different way than it is if you're just hearing someone teach or to do anything else. And you'll notice this. It's why we have all the streaming services. So how many of you guys have at least two streaming services at some capacity, all right? About half of you, right? The rest of you go, what's a streaming service? Okay, like Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever. And the reason we do that is because we want to watch a story, right? We want to get lost in a story. How many guys are readers in the room? Readers. Oh, a lot of you guys are readers. That's good. So one of the things you'll do is you'll read, and then if you come across a story, your mind just engages, right? You remember a story. When you come home at the end of the day and you're saying your day was terrible, someone will say, why? And what will you do? You'll tell a story of why your day was terrible and what happened to the car or what happened by your boss or the thing that failed or the thing that didn't go well. And if you say your day was good, they'll go, what happened? You'll tell a story of something that good happened. And people go, okay, I get it, because of story, right? We're just a creature of story. Even if you're watching sports, the sports people in here, notice what the broadcasters will do. They'll tell a story about the person that's playing at the moment or how they overcame obstacles, and we just latched on. We understand the person because we understand their story. We're just made that way. God made us that way. Now, in the book of John, what John tells us is here's the story of my understanding of Jesus. And it's a true story. And there's something about true stories that grab our attention, too. We want to know, is that true? Is that real? Is that really what happened? And John said, this is why I believe, because I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus. Now, what we're doing in this series, we're doing a little bit different. We're diving into the book of John. There's some Greek words I'm going to tell you. And when I tell you the Greek words, it's just so you can understand where it's going from. So there's a word in the book of John that those who like to go a little extra, go a little deeper, here's a Greek word that you will see over and over in the book of John. And it's the word for testimony or story, and it's the word martyria. Martyria. And it simply means this. It's a report or an account, what a person witnessed or experienced. It said, this is my story. Martyria. It's 14 times in the book of John. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the end of John, and John said, this is just my testimony. This is what I testified to. This is my story. Now, it is a legal term, and if you've ever sat in court, or if you've ever been on a jury, how many guys have ever served on a jury in here? You couldn't get out of it, right? You tried. And it's kind of fascinating to hear the story, but when they put someone on the witness stand, they just say, this is what I witnessed. This is what I saw. This is my story. In the ancient world, they didn't have trials like they do today. They would gather the village elders in the Jewish community, especially the Jewish elders. And then people would come and say, this is what happened. If you had two witnesses, you had to have two witnesses that would come in. They would listen to the witnesses and they would determine, are they credible? And if they were, they would convict someone based on that. And so in the Ten Commandments, remember it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's why. Because someone's life is in your hands as you tell the story. They're going to listen to you. If you're credible, something's going to happen to this person. Justice is going to happen. So God's saying, don't bear a false testimony. Don't tell a wrong story. Don't lie. Tell the right thing. What did you see? Just don't put it, anything else. What did you see? What did you witness? And John is saying, this is my story. You're going to see this word over and over and over in the book of John. He said, this is what I saw. This is what I witnessed. This is why I believe. This is why I'm telling this story. This is how it changed my life. It is why I believe in Jesus, why I completely changed my view of him. I hope that makes sense. So that's what we're reading, an eyewitness account, someone who actually lived every day with Jesus, saw him eat and drink, saw him sleep, saw him go about life, and came away convinced that this was someone different. Now today, I imagine I'm talking to two different groups of people, online and in person. Let me kind of tell you who I think you are. Many of you are followers of Jesus. You made a decision to follow Jesus. Some of you, because you heard someone's story. Someone you trusted their life to Jesus, and because you trusted them, you gave him or her some credibility, and because of that, you explored Jesus and you came to know him, right? You trusted someone because of their testimony or their story. It may have been someone on a stage, could have been a grandmother, could have been an uncle, could have been a best friend. They became a Christ follower. You listen to their story and you go, there's something there, so I want to make a choice. I need to make my own decision. How many of you guys heard someone's testimony? It kind of moved you a little bit and it helped you follow Jesus. Or an example, most of you in the room, okay? Could have been someone you loved, and just maybe a lifetime of living for Jesus, you go, I want that. There's another group in the room that you're still exploring Jesus, which is great. And you don't have a story yet to tell. So I'm going to ask you to do and challenge you to do is look at the book of John, listen to what we say, pray, and say, God, I want to know, is this true? Is this true? And if so, what does that mean for my life? So if you're a follower of Jesus, we're reading, we're studying, we're going to say, what is my story? How can I tell my story to help someone else trust Jesus? And if you're exploring, you're still not sure, then you're listening and go, is this true? Because if it's true, it'll change my life. Does this make sense? All right? One more Greek word today, and then I'll be done with Greek, okay, I think. All right, the next word I want to give you is the word exegesis. Isn't that a great word? Don't you just want to say it? Let's just say the word exegesis. One, two, three. Exegesis, all right? This is a seminary term that I'm going to use once and probably never again, all right? Let me just tell you what the Greek word means. I will use it later in communion, so don't forget the word. Exegesis means to explain something, to tell what happened, what was revealed. So when you exegete something, you're just explaining, not mansplaining, two different things, okay? Mansplaining is condescending. Explaining is go, this is how it works. You want to learn, so let me help you. So we're going to exegete, we're going to explain without mansplaining John chapter 1. Does that make sense? You guys ready to go? So John chapter 1, verse 19, are you there? Because we're going to dive in to John 1, 19 through 34. 1 through 18 is poetry. We looked at that and asked and answers big questions. Where did we come from? How did we get here? Where did life come from? And the writer John, in poetic form, you can actually look at it. It's offset. It looks different. He says, look, let me tell you where everything came from. Everything, you, life, everything came from something we call the Word, someone we call the Word, someone called Logos. It had it all created. It's for you. It's for life. Let me tell you, that's Jesus. That's big picture, blow your mind stuff. John chapter 1, verse 19, he says, let's get out of the big picture and go to one day in the life of someone. Let's talk about that. Let's tell his story. So we're going to read the story of one individual, verses 19 through 34. You ready? All right, here's the story. John 1, 19. He says, and this is the testimony. This is the story of John. Now know this, it's John the Baptizer. Those who went to Southern Baptist Church will call him John the Baptist, okay? But it's John the Baptizer. John who did baptism. He said, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So let's give context. Let's explain. Let's exegete that for a second. John is out there. He's baptizing people. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. These Jews come to him and said, you've got a crowd. You've got a crowd of people. People are flocking to you. You're out here in the middle of nowhere. You're dressing kind of crazy. You're not like us. You're not one of us. Your dad was a priest. You are not a priest. And you're out here with all these people. Who are you? Where did you get the authority to do this? Why are you doing this? And he looks at him. He says, I'm not the Christ. They didn't ask that question. He just wants it out there. It's not about me. I am not the Christ. It's not why I'm out here. So kind of file that away. He's just answering a question from a group of Jews who are saying, Jewish leaders who are saying, who are you? Why are you doing this? Who gave you the authority? You're not one of us. Why? Next verse. Again, we're exegeting this. We're explaining it. And they ask him then, are you Elijah? Now, why would you ask that question? You guys remember Elijah, Old Testament? Elijah did not die. He got taken up in a whirlwind, separated from his friends and followers by a chariot of fire. He never died. Malachi said, when the chosen one comes, one like Elijah will come. They go, are you Elijah then? He didn't die. Is that who you are? Have you come back to life? Are you in the spirit of Elijah? And John looks him in the face and the eye and he says, I'm not that guy either. Not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. So here's the next part of the story, next verse. So they go, okay, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, are you the prophet? Capital P. That's from Deuteronomy. Moses said there would come a prophet one day and he's going to prepare the way. Are you that guy? And he looked him in the eye and he said, what? No. It was a man of few words, right? No, I'm not him. So what are they thinking? Well, who are you then? Next verse. So they said to him, who are you? Who are you then? If you're not these guys, who are you? We need to give it an answer to those who sent us. We were sent here on a mission. They ask us to find out who you are. Who are you? Who are you? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He said, I'm a nobody. Don't worry about who I am. Don't worry about my face. Just know this, I'm a voice. I'm just crying out. I'm just telling people, someone's coming. The Lord is coming, and you need to be ready. And I'm just here to make the way straight for him. I'm just preparing the way for him because he's going to impact your life. It's not about me. It's not about me at all. This is just a job I'm doing that God has given me. Take the focus off of me. I'm just a voice. Don't look at me. Just listen. All right? Next verse. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. You know what? It's in parentheses, right? It's parenthetical. It means they called in the lawyers, right? The lawyers got called in, which is always bad news, right? The lawyer sent us, so we're trying to get your attention. You're going to get in trouble. And they ask him, then why are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ, and you're not Elijah, and you're not the prophet, why are you baptizing people? That's what the lawyers want to know. You're not one of us. Why are you doing this? And then John answered, next part says this, John answered them and said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know. There's somebody else that's more important to me, and you don't know him. And even he who comes after me, the strap whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And then John tells us these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now there's a lot to explain, to unpack, so let's unpack some of this, okay? He says, look, it's not about me. There's one that's coming, and I'm not even worthy to bend down, get on my hands and knees, undo his sandals. That's what a bondservant would do. He says, I'm not even good enough to be his bondservant. I'm not good enough to be a slave. He's much more important to me. And I'm here doing things on his behalf. It's about him. Keep your focus on him and notice it's about him. And then John tells us that on the Jordan, a town called Bethany, not one right next to Jerusalem. There are two Bethanies, just kind of know this. Two Bethanies, one by Jerusalem, one out in the middle of nowhere. This is the one out in the middle of nowhere, okay? How many guys live in the middle of nowhere? Okay, a lot of you live out in the middle of nowhere. It's like, how do you tell people how to get to your house? Well, you go by the tree, and then there's a cow out there. Usually there's a cow, and there's a little donkey. It's really cool. You need to see the donkey sometime. And then there's a barn that has a picture on it. That's not really important, but you just keep going past that. And then you got to count to 10, and then you're at my house, okay? Bob Fye and I took a road trip on Friday. We went down east, and there's actually a GPS that says in 700 feet there's going to be a road. Turn on that. No name. And it's like, really? Are we going to actually do this? Because that's the middle of nowhere. I thought I knew the middle of nowhere. I found the middle of nowhere. You don't want to go there, okay? And John is like baptizing people in the middle of nowhere in the Jordan River. And they're going, who are you and why are you doing this? So when you talk about baptism, okay, because we're all in the room. I don't know how many are here today, but how many people in the room, there's that many opinions about what baptism is, okay, right? Can we just agree on that? We all come from different backgrounds. I ask you, you ask me, we'll all talk about it differently. So let's talk about baptism for a second, okay? John's baptizing. The word baptizing simply means to immerse, to be immersed in something. If you've ever dyed anything, how many are old enough to have tie-dyed something, all right? How many are young enough to tie-dye something? What do you do with tie-dye? You take the material and you put it in the water with dye in it, you bring it out and it changes color, it changes what it looks like, right? But you gotta leave it in the water for a period of time for it to soak it up. And so baptism simply means you're going in just like that cloth and then something's gonna be different when you come out. Something's different. You're immersed. I don't know why they didn't translate it. Sometimes the Bible does not translate a Greek word. It's baptizo, There's a third Greek word. I threw one in there. Did you notice that? But it means to go into the water, immersed in the water. They could have just said he was immersing people. And here's the deal. The Jews immersed people. They baptized people. But they didn't baptize Jews. When someone that was a Gentile, which is probably almost everybody in the room, if you looked at the Jewish people and said, I want to know your God and I want to become one of you, you were asked to be baptized. They had special pools in the temple and in the synagogues. A Levite or a priest would get cleansed. The Gentile would say, I want to be one of you guys. Males, you had to be circumcised too. That's a whole different story. We're not going there today. But for everybody, you had to be baptized. They'd put you in the water. They'd bring you out. You're cleansed. You're purified. You're okay to be one of us now. And that's what Jews would do. And they said, John, you can't do that because you're not a priest. You're not cleansed. And let's just be honest about the Jordan River. It's not very clean. I live near the Muddy Creek. There's a reason they call it the Muddy Creek. When it rains, it's even muddier. And this Mill Creek that's right here, you know, we just down the hill, there's the Mill Creek with the swamp. You know what I'm talking about? Think that. And John was saying, okay, I want you to come to a group of people, come and be baptized. And it's not about the water. It's not about the water. It's about your heart. Repent and be baptized. Say the world, do you want to be different? And here's what he was doing. They weren't Gentiles. They were Jews. Okay? And you got to understand from a Jewish position, why are you doing this? You're supposed to be baptizing Gentiles so they can be one of us. You can't baptize a Jewish person. They're already good. They're already good. And these people were flocking there. They were coming from all over because they said, we're empty. Religion is sterile. We're not getting anything out of it. We want to connect with God. And inside, we're a mess. And they recognized that. We're not living with the right heart toward God, the right attitude. So they were just coming from miles away to visit John as he baptized in this muddy water. And they came out going, I feel different. I am different. I've been baptized. I want to know this God. I want to pour my heart out to him. Just kind of a side note. I don't know if you're watching the Christian news or anything. In Asbury Seminary right now in Kentucky, have you heard about that? There's a revival. They started a chapel last Wednesday, a week ago last Wednesday. Hasn't stopped since. People are coming from miles away, and they're trying to tell people, look, it's not about what God's doing here. He can do it anywhere. But these students have just camped out in this chapel. You can't even get in there anymore. And they just keep worshiping and praying and telling testimonies and confessing and going, we want something more. Now other schools are starting to do it. And scientists, social scientists are looking at this going, is this a movement of God? Don't copy it. Let God do it. And people are going there, what's the story? And they're going, it's not about us. It's about Jesus and what he was going to do. And there's no big music. There's music, but there's not like big name people. They're not big name people speaking. It's just everyday ordinary people. We're seeing a work of God, and people are going from all over to go there because they say, I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied. And the Jewish leaders had come to John and go, who are you to be doing this? Who are you? You're out of the norm. You're out of the norm. And that was this day in the life of John the Baptist. That's his story. And it continues. Next verse, it says this. The next day, John the Baptizer, saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I've used this constantly the last few weeks, but it's so important. John goes, okay, I'm baptizing you, but it's that guy. That's the Lamb of God. He's the one that's coming like the lamb that was sacrificed at Passover. And everybody's going, yeah, I know that story where they were trying to free the slaves out of Egypt. And they took the lamb and they brought the lamb into their house. And they got to love the lamb and care for the lamb. And then they had to sacrifice the lamb. They put the blood over the door so the angel of death would pass by and they would be alive. And John's going, that's Jesus. That was a symbol. That was a sign. That's the understanding of who Jesus is. He's going to die. His blood's going to save us. Said, that's the one. Don't pay attention to me. It's him. He takes away the sins of the world. That's my story. That's my testimony. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. Now let's do some little history. You guys know the story of John the Baptist, relative of Jesus, a few months older than Jesus, his mom and her mom were relatives. John's going, look, I'm older. He was here before me, though. He's somebody different. Let me tell you his story. Then he goes on and says this, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptized with water that he might be revealed to Israel. I didn't really know him. We were related. I didn't fully get him. But everything I'm doing right now, all these baptisms I'm doing, this message I'm giving out, the whole purpose of this is so people will get him. He'll be revealed through what I'm doing. Watch me, and then turn your eyes to Jesus. And then he wrote, this is his story. The next verse says this, and John bore witness. This is my story. This is what I saw. This is what I understand. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And the last verse that we're going to cover, and I have seen him and am borne witness that this is the Son of God. This guy is the Son of God. And that's John the Baptist's story. It's a powerful story. Here's the thing that God's given you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a story to tell. You have witnessed something in your life that no one can refute. They may not agree with your interpretation. They may look at you and say, I don't know if I believe you. And all you can say is, this is my story. This is what God's done in my life. This is how he saved me. And you can't talk me out of it. This is what I know. This is the Jesus I know. It's the most powerful thing that he has given you, the power of story. Can you tell it? What if I told you that your story might be used by God to change someone's life for eternity? A simple chance that you have to share a story. They'll tell you something. This is what happened. I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you what God did for me. And in telling the story, you're going to get their attention, and they're going to listen, and they're going to go, do I trust you enough to trust the one that you trust? And if you have a good relationship and you've shown yourself to be trustworthy, they'll at least give you the favor of listening. And perhaps they'll go, I want what you have, the power of story. Today, I just want to talk about that just briefly. We're going to jump out of the exegetical part of it and go into the practical part, okay? And we're going to unpack some more. So what's your story? On your outline, it's three things. What's your story? And we're going to talk about this a lot in the book of John. It's going to come up several weeks from now. It's going to come up again. We're going to start today with baby steps. What's your story? And here's three guidelines, three principles to remember. Number one, it's not about us. Number one, your story, my story, it's not about us. John kept saying, it's not me. I'm not the Christ. I am not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. None of this matters. Don't focus on me. Focus on Jesus. If you know Jesus, you have a God story. I'm not talking about the crazy God story that we have that we don't tell anybody, right? Where you prayed for a parking spot right in front of Harris Teeter and it opened up right when you drove by and you pulled right in and it was raining and you didn't get wet, but everybody else in the parking lot got wet. That's a great story to remember, especially if you couldn't get out of the car and get there, okay? But people are going to look at you a little weird with that kind of story sometimes. Or when you prayed for $100 and it was dropped on the ground and you picked it up and put it in your pocket. I mean, that's a great God story, except for the person who dropped the $100 and go, well, that was mine, you know? But we have those kinds of stories. Remember those. Hold on to those with someone that you really love and that really loves you and they won't look at you sideways. But you have a story to tell and it's not about you. It's about what God's done in you. And that's the mindset change. We want to tell, this is how I figured it out. Those of us in small groups, somebody's going to go, I have a prayer request. What's your prayer request? Well, I'm going through this. And you're going to be tempted to say, can I tell you what I did in this situation, right? It's really tempting. Instead of saying, I kind of faced that thing. This is what God did. This is what Jesus did to get me out. See the difference? One is I just want to share my wisdom, how smart I was. The other one's like, I couldn't figure it out. God did this. Number one, it's not about us. We're going to quick through this. Number two, keep the focus on Jesus. Keep the focus on Jesus. That was big for John. John actually says this. He goes, look, I didn't know him. We were relatives. I didn't know him. And then one day I was baptizing and he came into the water and I saw the Holy Spirit come out of the sky and he rested on him. And at that moment, I believed. because God had told me in advance that was going to happen. And now I believe that he's the Son of God. Does it make sense? This was a day that Jesus was revealed to me. I was in sixth grade when Jesus was revealed to me. He didn't speak to me. I didn't hear a voice out loud. I was sitting in children's church, which is a powerful place to be in children's church. And I was listening, and all of a sudden, I don't even know what the guy was saying, our little guy who taught, but suddenly I was fully convicted, even as an elementary school student. I was fully convicted. I need a Savior. And this was big. And like, I could not move. They made us walk the aisle. It's like the scariest thing in the world, right? And we're in a class of sick, you know, elementary school kids, and they still made us walk the aisle. And like, I remember like being scared to death to get up and make that step. But it's like, I gotta go. I can't not go. I gotta go. You ever been there? And you're just overwhelmed, and you're just going, God's calling me to do something. I gotta do this. I can't not do it. And I remember walking up, and they prayed over me, and then I remember being baptized, standing up. And in our baptistry, it was right there. How many of you went to the church where it was right there? The baptistry was right behind, okay? So I remember going in there, and the first thought was, the water's really cold, and there's a lot of people out there. But I just felt like, I can't not do this. I can't not do this. I have to do this. God's overwhelming me right now. And I have experiences with God that go beyond that. There's like, there's times where I've never heard his voice out loud. Many of you would say the same thing, but I've read scripture and I'll go, God's speaking through this scripture and he is telling me something. And I don't hear the voice out loud, but I know I need to stop and listen. And maybe you've had a prayer and you prayed it and then suddenly you answered it and the tears start flowing because you go, that was God. That's why we pray. That's why we pray out loud sometimes, because you're going, when he answers, you go, there's no way except for God. And I want to point to him. I hope that makes sense. Is keep the focus on Jesus. John says the Spirit came down out of heaven, landed on him, and at that moment I know, yep, that's him. He's the Son of God. He's not just a good preacher. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good friend. He's not just a cousin of mine. He's the Son of God. And I didn't get it until that moment. It's when the light goes off. Tell that story. Keep the focus on Jesus. Tell his story. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Polycarp. I just love that name. I had to bring him up again, okay? Polycarp was second generation Christ follower, meaning he didn't see Jesus face to face, but he gave his life to Jesus because of the testimony he heard from John. And he began to follow Jesus. When he was an old man, it was a time in the Roman Empire where they said, you have to worship the emperor. Emperor worship. That's what they instituted. Jews, they kind of grandfathered in. They said, it's okay if you worship Yahweh. Christians, nope. You got to give up on this Jesus thing. You have to worship the emperor. And they came to Polycarp's village, and they said, you've got to give up on Jesus. And you have to say you were wrong. And he said, I can't do that. And then they asked him, why not? And this is what he said. Here's a quote from his life. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who has saved me? That's my story. It's my story. I can't recount it. I saw it. I experienced it. He's never let me down. He's always been there for me. If you're going to kill me, but I'm not going to, I can't pull back what's true. You can't take it away from me. And he was burned at the stake. And people gave their lives to Jesus because they said, if that guy won't recount, it must be true. And if it's true, there's more than what we experience here on this world. And so the focus was on the king and not on the person. So when you're prepared to tell your story, tell it this way. It's not about me. It's what Jesus has done for me throughout my life. And I just want people to know. The third and kind of final thing about how to tell your story is just be ready for any opportunity to share his story. Just be ready. Be ready. We'll talk more about how to do that later. Be ready for any opportunity. John's out there baptizing. The people come to him. Who are you? He just answered questions, right? That's all he did was answer questions. Are you the Christ? Nope. Elijah? Nope. Are you the prophet? Nope. Who are you? Nobody. Let me tell you about Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's just focus on him. And he just used the opportunity. Today, somebody might ask you, why do you go to Bridges Church? Why did you go to the church? Here's some possibilities. I go to church at Bridges Church because they have great coffee. love the coffee, right? You're coffee drinkers. You're obsessed. You're addicted to it. You just got to come. I come to Bridges because they're the greatest greeters in the world. Love the greeters. And we do have the greatest greeters. I come there because we have a great children's ministry. It's awesome. I love to go because we get out at 10:10 and then they get me out to do whatever I want to do today. I mean, you could tell them all those things. But can I give you a suggestion to say if they ever ask you, what do you like about this church? Here's what I want you to say. Just think about it. They focus on Jesus. They focus on Jesus. If it's not true, then we need to fix it. But why do you go there? They focus on Jesus. That's the most important thing. They have great coffee. They're very warm and inviting. We love the youth group. We love children's ministry. We love all that stuff. The most important thing to me is they focus on Jesus, and it'll throw them for a loop because they're not used to that, right? Not in the Bible Belt. Why do you go to that church? They have a cool, cool gym. I love to play basketball. Okay, that's great. They have great worship. That's awesome. Different answer. They focus on Jesus. And just see what they say. Next time a friend tells you they're running through a problem, here's what I want you to say. Have you talked to Jesus about it? Freak them out. It'll totally freak them out. I talked to Jesus about my problems, and he's my friend. Have you tried that? Well, I hadn't really thought about that. Okay. Why do you do it? Because he's never let me down. We just sang that, right? Is it true for your life? If it's true, then tell him. I went through a terrible time. Can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? That's all I want you to know. It's not about me. It's not how I figured it out. It's about Jesus. So listen, can we agree with that? So I don't know if anybody will ask you that today. If you go out to lunch today, tip the person really big. And they go, why'd you tip me really big? Because I follow Jesus. I'm called to love people. And I want you to know him. What do you think? Tell your story. I think what's happened in our culture is we're so used to not sharing our story, we get into this point where it's like, I can't share my story. And my hope is over the next year and a half or so, we're going to be so trained and so ready to go, people go, why? And you'll say, it's because of Jesus. Let me tell you about him. So that's the goal. That's where we're heading, okay? You could do it today, maybe. Maybe God would give you that opportunity, just like he did John the Baptist. Who are you? Doesn't matter about you or me. It's about Jesus. I hope today that if you're not a follower of Jesus, that you'll just be challenged and go, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, really? If that's true, I need to really, really think about that. And what does that mean for me? If you haven't been baptized yet, I want you to really think. If I believe in Jesus and he calls us to be baptized, do I need to do that and take that step? That's the next step for me, because he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe he's calling you to a different form of obedience. It's all going to be part of your story. And then if you're a follower of Jesus, what I want you to do is think, who can I tell? Who needs to know? How can I be ready? Let's take that step. What's your story? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the story that so many of us have in the room about who Jesus is and how we've come to know him. Give us the courage and the boldness to share it simply and quietly and humbly, just like John the Baptizer did. So Father, I pray for opportunities for our lives to be used by you, that someone can come to know him and have their life changed for all eternity, just like you changed ours. Speak to them before we get there. Soften their heart. Help us to be brave and courageous and tell those stories. And I pray for anybody here today that you're already talking to their heart, saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. This is who I am. Take a step of faith, be baptized, and follow me. I pray for them to have that courage to take a step and even fill out that I have decided card and make an appointment. Let's tell the world through the act of baptism what you're doing. So, Father, use us in a way that brings you glory and shines a light on Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Today for communion, I want to go back to last week. I didn't finish a verse, and I want to go back. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 1:18 as you're there. If you need prayer after the service, there'll be a group up here to talk about decisions that will help you to do that. One of the things I'm struggling with, I'll just be open and honest with this series, is there's so much in John. I hate to skip anything. So I skipped. I'm going back. That's the nice thing about this. John 1:18 last week is the end of the poetry section of John. John does historical narrative. He tells a story, but he also had poetry. And in the Bible, some of your Bibles will have this kind of marked a certain way, okay? It's offset because it's poetry. And this is what John said about Jesus. no one has ever seen God the Father, right? No one in here can claim they've ever seen God the Father. He's invisible. But the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. And I told you we'd come back to the word exegesis at the end. That word revealed means to exegete something. You haven't seen God, you've seen Jesus. And if you've seen Jesus, he'll explain God the Father to you. You see Jesus, you see his compassion. His compassion is the same as the Father's. Watch Jesus, you'll see the Father. His sacrificial love, that's Jesus. He's explaining the Father to us. Look at him heal people. Look at him take care of the poor and the sick. That's the Father. He's explaining him to us. Look at his power to heal. That's explaining the Father. The Father can do that. He can do anything. That's the Father. He's revealing him. I hope this makes sense. It's like in this Jesus that we're seeing, that's the Father. He's exegeting. He's explaining him to us. Communion is exegesis. You want to know who Jesus is? Look at the bread and the juice. His body sacrificed for you because of his love. His blood shed for you. That's explaining Jesus. So when you eat and you're drinking, you're having explained to you everything that Jesus is about him that you need to know. So it's an act, but it explains who Jesus is, and that act explains who the Father is. Sacrificial love of Jesus. The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the power of God explained in Jesus. So let me pray, and after that, you'll get a chance to have him exegete that to you through the act of eating and drinking. Let's pray. Father God, your word is powerful, but even more powerful is your spirit working through your word in the lives of each person and through Jesus Christ, his son. So I pray during this time of communion, as we understand Jesus a little bit deeper, his sacrifice for us, that it all points to the Father who loved us so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, all explained in a little piece of bread, little cup of juice, an object lesson for us to get you. And I pray this in his name, amen. Come forward when you're ready and receive communion.